Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Some of you may know that I grew up in a family business run by my dad, a grocery store, but it had a butcher shop. It was known far and wide on the Southwest side, and I know that quality means something, and that's why we drive 2 hours from Northwest Indiana all the way to the Northwest side of the city of Chicago to Joseph's Finest Meats at 7101 West Addison Street. Before you go there, you got to be prepared, so I've got a list for you. Do you have a pen? Italian sausage, hot. Italian sausage, mild. Get pork chops, but order them thick. And of course, get some beef too, like bone-in ribeye steaks. Nothing like it. And if you don't know exactly what to get or how to cook it, ask Ben or Sal and tell them John Cass sent you. And I'd like to tip my hat to Joseph, the patriarch, the owner, the founder who built this store for his family with his two sons, Ben and Sal. In his mid-90s, he had serious heart surgery and he made a triumphant return. He loves his place, and I do too. And so does anyone who shops there. It's like family. They care about the details. They care about you. Joseph's Finest Meats, 7101 West Addison Street, Chicago. A family tradition since 1977, and a proud sponsor of John Cass News and the Chicago Way podcast. In the old days of newspapering, there was something called the editorial meeting. Every afternoon, people would come from different parts of the newspaper to pitch the good stories they had. The sports editor, the features editor, the news editor, city desk, everybody. And they would come to the editor of the paper and pitch their stories. They were all basically men, mostly white men, no Greeks allowed, and they lived lives before they became newspaper men. They were combat veterans. They were sailors. They ran businesses. They were carpenters. And that meant they had life experience. And I'm sure that somebody had life experience when they came up with a story that ran in the Chicago Tribune about Operation Midway Blitz. How many days in Midway Blitz? 60 days, millions of dollars. And in all that commentary and all that stuff I read about Midway Blitz, I didn't read about the reason for Midway Blitz. The reason involves our guest, Joe Abraham, on the Chicago Way. Jeff Carlin is here, my friend, WGN executive producer, future physics teacher, friend of cats, baker of pies. And me, I'm John Cass, editor of John Cass News. We always get a good cup of Midwestern common sense. And where are you? As Minnesota implodes, as comparisons come fast and furious about the days of the beginning Confederacy when they reject the laws passed by Congress and push for their own independent immigration policy, which means none. You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
So this is a guy who lives high on the hog and he has this Tammany Hall style attitude to power. And it's the Chicago Way, absolutely.
Look, the Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
It's the Chicago Way.
The Chicago Way, that's the focus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
What was Midway Blitz about and how did it start?
Hi, guys. It's good to be with you again. Yeah, Midway Blitz was dedicated to my daughter, Katie Abraham. And the main purpose there was to come into Chicago, a sanctuary city, and remove sort of the worst of the worst. That's what they were trying to get to. I don't think that meant like they would ignore anything else that they saw along the way, but they were trying to have this targeted. They sort of knew who the individuals were that they were looking for to apprehend, people that probably shouldn't be running around in our communities, definitely should not be running around in our communities. And that was the main purpose. And I thought that was a great goal, right? Because Illinois certainly wasn't going to do anything about the victims, you know, help support them in any way. And they were really backing whether you're a hardened criminal or a really productive illegal alien, but they weren't going to make any distinction between the two. So I felt that that was a positive thing, you know, and meeting dozens of these DHS and ICE folks, I have to tell you that, you know, you talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. I never saw a more diverse, a more inclusive, a more collaborative, a more professional, and a more competent group of folks than I did when I went down to visit DHS and ICE. These are good people, and to watch them be torn down is very disheartening, because, you know, if you contrast, you know, what you see at, say, the Broadview facility with ICE and the protesters there, you know, I didn't really see a lot of diversity, inclusion, cooperation. And it's really amazing that contrast was so stark.
The one thing that struck me was your daughter was killed by an illegal alien, a drunk, who was drunk and driving at 80 miles an hour and slamming into her car. Now, where were the complaints? Where were the protests about her life? I mean, they're worried about the mother, Renee Good, but where were the protests about Katie Abraham? Did I see any? No. Why not? Where were they? In Illinois, in Chicago, in Minneapolis. Why were there, and where was the media coverage about that? Did you see any?
If there's the tragic irony in this tragedy of 2025 into 2026, nothing makes sense, right? Up is down, left is right. A young citizen of the state is killed by someone who twice removed from, or at least once removed, and has twice entered the country
illegally.
Has no credible skill set that has been documented anywhere, seemingly just living a life of crime, seemingly living an unhealthy life, and takes a citizen's life doing something that they shouldn't have been doing because they shouldn't have been here. And what was the response, Joe, from the governor or elected officials who represent you?
Oh, there was a complete and utter silence from anyone in the state. It would be an indictment if they acknowledged, it would be an indictment on their policies and their character if they were to acknowledge Katie's life, so they ignore it. But, you know, let's take that, you know, you're a year into, so Katie's, you know, basically Monday will be a year of Katie's killing. And so I've got a year basically asking, can anyone in Illinois talk to me? Will you please call me? Will you please explain to me why my daughter had to die in the violent manner that she died in?
We talked to you. Jeff Carlin and I talked to you on the Chicago Way. We wanted to get your story out. But where were the other political figures? Where was, I'm thinking of those lefties at the Tribune. Why didn't they even mention Katie once in that big story about 68 days of Midway Blitz? Why didn't they even mention her name?
Well, that's where I was going, John, is that they have a counter on Operation Midway Blitz, but there's no counter on justice for Katie. I mean, there's no counter on, you know, that number is a lot bigger, and there's been less done. There's been less outrage. Joe, I mean, what is you feeling today? Is we're, you know, a couple days away from this anniversary about the state you live in?
I think I'm a lifelong Illinoisan. I've lived in Cook County all my life. I understand how they go about things. I just think now it's so incredibly overdone. In the past, there was some kind of minimal common sense. They wouldn't allow certain things like this to happen. Now it's just, it's amazing the indifference and the callousness from our governor, for sure, and any other state legislatures, which, you know, let's face it, I think he kind of, with his resources and money, he kind of runs everything. And it's everything. Funny to watch him call, yeah, and it's funny to watch him call Donald Trump an authoritarian. I can't picture, if I think in my head, authoritarian, J.B. Pritzker comes to mind before Donald Trump does.
Every Johncast news column starts with an idea that is watered by a good cup of coffee. That search for the perfect cup is where my love of coffee and writing began. And that perfect cup comes from Kribbi Coffee, K-R-I-B-I Coffee, roasted locally in Chicago. Now, Kribbi Coffee has coffee for your love. Let me tell you about the Be Mine Valentine's Gift Kit, a thoughtful Valentine's gift designed for coffee lovers. This curated set features our limited edition Be Mine blend, air roasted for a signature, always smooth, never bitter taste, with notes of red apple, caramel, and tangerine. It also includes a 15% off discount card, so the next bag is already covered. A classic coffee scoop, Valentine's gift bag, tissue paper, and a heart-shaped tag or a message. Be mine, sweetheart. Be my coffee, Valentine. Kribbi Coffee, roasted locally in Chicago. That's KRIBICoffee.com. Have I told you that Kribbi Coffee is not some exotic that you can't find anywhere? You can find it everywhere, including Joseph's Finest Meats. Kribbi Coffee, where every cup of Midwestern common sense is air roasted, smooth, and never bitter. KRIBICoffee.com. Proud sponsor of Johncast News and the Chicago Way podcast. Cheers.
We've had you on before and we talked about this and we thought this was a good, because again, there's no counter. There's no one's paying attention. It seems like who's at the wheel in Illinois. What do you think it'd take to get them to realize what's going on here? Or is it just a game to them that they're just hungry for power?
No, I think this is a game, especially for Governor Pritzker. He's in it for the game. He doesn't care about Illinois or Illinois citizens. For example, here's a year he hasn't acknowledged Katie at all, as far as I'm concerned, to me. And then the minute something happens, like the Renee Good up in Minnesota, 2 seconds in, he's in front of a microphone talking about it. So number one, you can't even run this state properly. The only people that think the state is running well are the people running it, right? I don't think anyone can objectively say this state's a well-run state. So you can't even take care of your own house, but you're going to go interject yourself in another state. You can't even run this state. Maybe don't say anything about their state. Maybe Minnesota shouldn't be your purview. Why don't you work on your state? You're a guy that nullified federal law and then opened the doors, kicked the side door open in the middle of the night, let in hundreds of thousands of, you don't even know who. And it's, sorry, human nature is human nature. You cannot tell me and romanticize every illegal alien is a good person who's just looking for a better life. That's nonsense. And I don't think anybody believes that. And I reject him calling people like that disagree with that position racist and bigots and xenophobes and all that nonsense that they do to kind of shut you up. Sorry, you are the one that's incompetent if that's what you believe. So you open the door and you have no process to vet anybody, a minimal, you have nothing. You say federal law, I'm not going to listen to you, but then I have no process in order to make sure my communities are safe. I'm just going to let it happen. And I get why they're letting it happen, but it's still irresponsible. It's still lack of leadership. And it's, to me, the voters ought to look at that, because I'm going to tell you, if anything happens to the citizens, your state is not behind you. You will get nothing but indifference and silence from the state. And you need to know that.
And Joe, it's not even let happen. I mean, it's an encouragement. I mean, there's this broadcast of, hey, we're a sanctuary state, you know, come on in, no questions asked. Oh, hey, you're here. Would you like a license? Let's get you a license. My outrage isn't over the people trying to come to this country and doing hard work and the people who are here and doing hard work. These people are good people. I get it. And lots of people over the history of this country have come in this way and gone on to be great citizens. but we can. We're a first world country. We could do this, right? We could do anything. We could put people on the moon. We could put objects outside our solar system. We can do these things, but we choose not to for what you've laid out, for the gamesmanship of it that Pritzker wants. And I mean, have you?
You guys are making a mistake.
What is that, John?
I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're bringing in illiterate people who are to suppress the wages of Americans. They're giving up, bringing in low-skilled workers who are getting on the welfare roll like they did in Minnesota to become dependents of the government and thereby become political dependents of the Democratic Party. And they don't care how many Katie Abrams they kill because this is about them. Otherwise, they would have mentioned her in their big Tribune expose, 68 Days of Midway. They didn't even mention her once because she doesn't count. And that's what we have to realize, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I kind of wrote about that a little bit. I think, John, you're right on. I wrote about that in one of my op-eds where I said their calculus or their equation had deaths in their calculus. Deaths like Katie Abraham, and they were okay and willing to accept those deaths, knowing that the media is behind them. It won't get coverage. People won't understand or know about it. So I think you're 100% right on that. I think there's a lot of things involved. That's certainly one of them. I mean, I think their insidious sort of formula, just one piece of that formula was, yeah, citizens will die, but we can manage that. So they accepted the deaths. That I 100% believe that.
That's the gamesmanship of it. I mean,
yeah,
that's exactly.
That's what they're doing.
Exactly,
I mean, that's what I'm saying, John. That's what I said before. That's what I'm saying. It's the gamesmanship. They're doing it for that reason and that reason alone. It's a power. It's a money. It's a us versus them. And I mean, and John, I'm going to push back a little on the replacement thing. You know,
please do
the low skilled worker. I've worked just as you have, but I worked with undocumented guys my whole life. And, you know, they were not brought in to take someone's job. They were here to do a job that no one would do. And if it didn't get done, then it would be the business would wrap shop because they wouldn't have anybody. And so I don't believe that that's the ultimate reason. I think it's the power play, like you outlined it, that they want the numbers of support in their districts in the state. I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum. The state is losing people.
That too.
Pritzker's big solution. Let's bring in people who we can quote unquote count. And please see that weird census situation. So
the places, yeah. I agree 100%, Jeff, except for this. There are places that, I mean, I grew up working with immigrants. I am an immigrant son, a son of an immigrant. Okay. Then we had to work hard jobs because there was no corporate lifestyle for us. Here, sir, here, Mr. Cass, Spiro Cass, take your briefcase, take the train, wear your raincoat and suit and have lunch out of a bag or take the train home again and see Laura Petrie when she's waiting in Rochester. No, that didn't happen. My father didn't have that. And neither did your father. You didn't have it. I didn't have it.
I didn't have it.
And you didn't have it, Joe. You came. Yeah. Yeah. Your family came from a hard place, too. Iraq, right?
I mean, yeah.
It's not an easy place.
No. I will say one thing about that. You know, I know they say, well, if we don't bring illegals, then they're going to, you know, we're going to have these jobs open that no American will do. Yeah, maybe Americans have a better, you know, opportunities and that's fine. They have other things they want to do. There's still a way to do this in an orderly fashion and not the way it looks like today and how it looked like over the 5 years. So, so yes, I agree, but there's still no excuse for our politicians to create it the way they did.
They've been doing this my whole life, Joe. Both sides have been playing this border game my whole life. And now it's come to a head and, you know, lines have been drawn and
Trump stopped it. I give him credit. Now, we do have some development here, and that is the sanctuary city policy that cost Governor Rauner his job. He was a Republican. He flipped on abortion. And he flipped on Sanctuary City, and he was a friend of mine. I liked him, supported him, but I gave him the mutsa. And one day he said, "I can't win with you giving me the mutsa all the time. Damn it!"
Yeah.
I'm like, well, you did the Sanctuary City.
There's a guy who got caught up in the gamesmanship and it ate him alive.
But here's the thing. There was a development off Joe Abraham's commentary, which it did ruffle feathers. It did bother Pritzker. He's not going to say it. One thing was Ted Dabrowski, the candidate, the Republican candidate for governor of Illinois, came out and said the first priority he'd make is to abolish Sanctuary City in Illinois. I think that's a pretty decent thing to do. Yes? No? What do you guys think?
So I've spoken to Ted Dabrowski many times now, mm-hmm. and I actually did a commercial for it, you know, highlighting Katie, but talking about how Ted would protect through these sanctuary cities by pulling them back and right. putting some common sense to things. So he's the only candidate really that has consistently reached out to me to talk through the situation with Katie and what we can do to be, you know, do better. So I appreciated that. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, if I think of the candidates, he's the one consistent guy that's reached out to me, and I'm certainly not going to probably at this point back J.B. Pritzker. So I thought, yeah, let me make people aware of Katie and what happened to her and why it didn't have to happen and where Ted would step in and at least right or wrong in my view. So I was okay.
Well, it was an effective ad.
Yeah. I hope so.
It's an effective ad.
I hope so. People should know. Voters in this state should know the you know, when you talk about Governor Pritzker, and it's not just Governor Pritzker, but really he's running the state. He even said in Congress, it's my state. I run it. I'm responsible for it. So he took the accountability for it, but really he doesn't take accountability. But voters have to know that, you know, he talks about like these half, you know, these corporations that gouge you and this, but you know, this is a guy that every year just keeps gouging the taxpayer, right? And he thinks he's got something wrong. But you still go out there and nothing works in Illinois. Yeah, I don't, you drive the roads, it's brutal. You take the public transportation, it's brutal. I mean, I'm not real sure or real clear what the voters see.
When you're thinking about taxpayers, he's the guy who tore the toilets out of his mansion so that the house that he was living in, the house that he was living next door to, would be uninhabitable. And that lowered his property taxes. It was a scam by $300,000.
I mean, come on. Are we going to run out his whole list of things? I mean, this is the guy who's got his money named all over offshore accounts. This is the guy who hasn't really worked a day in his life. I mean, this is the guy who lies about everything. This is a guy who kept us in our houses month after month after month, you know, essentially
during COVID.
COVID. Yeah. This is the guy whose family was hanging out at a farms outside the state during COVID. This is the guy who keeps telling us he's not running for president, but we know he's lying. I mean, the list goes on and on. This is the gamesmanship, and he's an A-class player, just like Trump is. I mean, Trump's a gamer in this, and he is better than Pritzker by far. But Joe, in his gamesmanship, he's left the people who are getting hurt out of it. You know, that was we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, John. You know, you go to the wake, you go to the funeral, and that's the Chicago way. That was the Daly way. You know, if someone got hurt by something that Daly's did, you guaranteed that family got a basket. You know, that family got somebody. Someone knew that said, "Hey, sorry this happened. This is your collateral damage. I'm really sorry."
Yeah.
Has anything happened?
No, nothing like that. And that's kind of what I was saying. And you know, my dad knew the old man Daly. But it's exactly right. Where I said it was, Illinois has always been corrupt and political, but there was always something there that made you feel okay. You felt recognized, felt like you meant something. And it's just crazy how it's changed where, you know, you have a governor who his own policies create, because Katie's not the only one who's died under these policies or have been victimized, but he should talk to everyone that his policies have victimized, particularly the ones that have been killed, but he doesn't. I mean, this is why I say he's not a compassionate man and he's not a caring man. People need to know this. This is not a guy who has your back, right? And unless you've come into the state illegally, then maybe he's got your back. But other than that, he doesn't have your back. He's sort of an aloof billionaire. He just kind of does what he wants. He's very entitled. He didn't earn it. Like, I earned everything I got. Every dollar that came in my hand, I earned. I don't even know what it would be like to be that entitled. So maybe, you know, maybe that's just kind of how he learned. Where John, you and I were talking about how sons of immigrants, you know, I was working at 12 years old. So, it's a different maybe worldview from him. I can't understand the lack of compassion and the utter indifference from him.
As they say about him, he was born on third base and he thought he had a triple.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I guess I just don't. I don't understand it. I guess
I understand him because he's a frightened little man. But even though he's a big man, I guess big frightened little big man. But thing that I don't get is the newspapers ignoring Katie and avoiding mentioning her name when they're doing exposés, big stories about 68 days of Midway Blitz. Why wouldn't they mention her name?
Why? I don't know. It's a great question,
Jeff. Well, it's all the stuff we laid out because how it's closely tied. The same concept, the same energy, the same gamesmanship, because that's kind of the theme of this one, that it was, mm-hmm. was on display in Minnesota with a good shooting is on display with a journalist in this town. They're just working on a different angle of it. They've been turned into these activists / journalists, and it's not really journalists. You know, I'm putting air quotes around that. And that's the line they carry. That's what they believe in. They think they're wrong. These are the same people who, you know, ran stories about Paul Vallis being a fascist, right? I mean, this is, or a Nazi or whatever. I see it for what it is. Most people in the state, I don't think they do, because we wouldn't be in the situation we are in. But that's why we're here. That's why we're talking to Joe, to try to get this out there. It's just another voice, because they're not going to give it to you, John. And I mean, asking the question, why aren't they telling us? Because their worldview has been so twisted by their upbringing in a system that was in a media world that was all pushing this. And then you have the politicians pushing it. And then you have the activists pushing it. And then you have the union members pushing it, who are also happen to be their teachers. It gets us to where we are.
In the next few days, Jeff, as I run a Paul Vallis column and a Houlihan column, mm-hmm. so that I can concentrate on the lecture that I'm going to give about the loss of faith and or loss of trust in journalism, I'm thinking that maybe we're talking not only about sins of commission, like the New York Times and the Washington Post pushing the Russia collusion story. That is commission. It's wrong. It was a falsehood, but they pushed it anyway. They were active. Mm-hmm. And then the other journalism sin involves Katie, mm-hmm. Katie Abraham, innocent child, beautiful girl, loved dad, loved her family, murdered and killed by a drunken illegal. And they ignore it. That is called ignore it, not mentioning it in the newspapers, on TV, not leading with it.
Well, I mean, it did get coverage. It did get coverage, yeah. When it happened, John, like any routine, you know, tragic story. So, I mean,
it's not put in. Okay.
But that's my point, is that then it goes right out the window, because what's more important, it's probably the stuff that's being pushed by the unions, being pushed by the governor's media machine.
And that is the sin of omission, where we remove our hands from it. We take two steps back, you know? That's it.
Yeah. But it's, you know, and I see that in my worldview, the sinners in this case don't know they're sinning, because their worldview has been so distorted by everything that's led them to this point.
Politics.
And that's the tragedy.
You can't have guys like John Cass in the newsroom.
Right.
You might infect.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
I mean, I have an interesting story when we get to it about how the Tribune behaved.
Yeah. Wait on.
Sure. Tell us.
Yeah. So this is where, the Tribune had published Katie's mom's op-ed, but that really came from, so the Tribune contacted me and said, hey, we want to really do this exclusive story. We really want to deep dive into who Katie was and, you know, how this tragedy happened and who's responsible. Like, they wanted to do this whole big thing.
Sure. Right?
So they brought in a reporter here to my house, and and a photographer, and they were in Katie's room, and they were asking us a lot of questions. And I got to say, there was something in me that said, this just doesn't feel right, but let's go with it. It's fine. So we went through the whole thing, and then they kind of asked us about who they should follow up with. What if we follow up with Katie's mom, or, you know, the other sort of victims in that tragedy, because it wasn't just Katie.
Right.
So then what came out of that after probably hours of talking with the Tribune folks, and they're taking pictures of Katie's room, and they're going to do this real big exclusive like story about Katie to get it out there. Nothing came of that. They didn't do that. But then I think like a week or two later, Katie's mom had an op-ed in the Tribune rejecting Midway Blitz and using Katie's name, which, you know, I think it's okay for people to have their own opinions. Look, we have a grieving mom, and she has her perspective, and she ought to have that. Good for her. She should be able be out there. I have a different perspective. I'm also, well, I'm Katie's dad, and I have a different perspective, and I have a different belief on how things have to go, and she's free to say that, and I should be free to say what I want. What I didn't like is the disingenuousness of the Tribune. They, I think, came in there to not necessarily do an exclusive and talk to me and really try to focus on Katie. They came in there for some nefarious reason, I think, because even in the op-ed that they ran, not the exclusive, they didn't ever do that, but the op-ed, they started using pictures in that op-ed of my house and of my Katie situation. So it seemed to me very, what would you call it? Like, I know it's nefarious, but it was just not a very ethical thing in my view to do. They should have told me, look, we're not going to do it. We're going a completely 180 different way because I think we like this story better, right? That kind of thing. So that was my take on the Chicago Tribune. I thought they were very shady.
So you're telling me that the Tribune, like a reporter reached out to you and said, hey, we need some background on the story, and we were going to do an exclusive, and we want to get some pictures, and can we come talk to you for a little bit? Someone said that.
That's right.
And then they came out and they did this, and then that reporter took that back to some editor, and all we ever saw of it was maybe a blurb in the that followed the editorial, but I didn't see that either.
No, it was an editorial from Katie's mom, basically said, I reject all this, right? But what I'm saying, so they didn't have anything about me really in there.
Mm-hmm.
They had pictures of my house when they were here at my house. They had some pictures on the
editorial. They didn't want your point of view.
Yeah, they didn't want it. No. But in their credit, though, I wrote an op-ed to explain my position, because certainly Katie's mom should have a position, but I have one as well. To their credit, they said, yes, we will run that for you, because I was sort of like, hey, where's this exclusive? You had this real pure thing you were going to do, and then it went from that to this completely different thing, right? And I don't know if you're trying to get us to fight, like, in media, but we wouldn't do that. I won't do that.
Right.
Her mom has a and she should be free to do that, right? So, and I'm not going to judge her for that. She's got her perspective. Good, you know, I feel, you know, she's a grieving mom. I just thought the Tribune was very shady in how they sort of went about doing that.
But did they run your op-ed?
Yeah, they did run the op-ed, because we sort of went to them and said, wait a minute, this was, you should have like told us what you were doing, and then you should have been transparent up front, and you sent some hack reporter here that had an agenda and a perspective, and I sensed it, but I went with it. I didn't have a strong sense, but I felt like, God, this is sort of weird, and I feel like this is not going right.
That's what I was telling you guys.
Yeah.
The sin of commission versus omission. This is like laying back, like, hey, we're not opposed to your point of view, Mr. Abram. We're just going to give another view from your wife. Are you objecting to this? And you just stand there looking. You're like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't behave, I thought, properly. I thought that was, I didn't know media companies would behave like that, but I thought that was shady.
They used to behave differently, but then they gave in. The old Tribune was not that way. The new Tribune with, Communist Manifesto. Yeah, that's a different Tribune. Oh, boy. Hey,
can I ask you two? You two are in the media. Can I ask you this, for example? The governor's office with the reporters sent us, they asked for a sort of statement. And all they told the reporter, and I was working with the reporter because he was trying to get my story out, they told him that the statement they have is you don't have the full story, and they sent them three links to Katie's mom's sort of op-ed rejecting, which, number one, I wasn't even talking about Midway Blitz to the governor. My questions weren't around Midway Blitz. It was, how did this guy behave and get into the country? So it was a different path. But how do you think it's as insidious as the governor's office working with the Tribune in order to get something like that set up? And now I'm thinking more like them. I would have never thought that. It just came to me just now. I'm like, do you think it has, in order for me to say, hey, where's my, they could think they're absolved for their responsibility to say, oh no, you don't have the full story, Joe Abraham. We've already acknowledged it through Katie's mom, something like that. Now I'm thinking, do you think the governor's office worked in cahoots with the Tribune and set this up?
I mean, That's an accusation none of us will be able to make because we can't back it up. But would I say that is there communication between people in these orbits offline, and are they sharing information in a, hey, did you see this? Wink, wink. Or, you know, it'd be really good if this happened.
Did you ever see maggots at the bottom of a garbage can? Do they communicate? I mean, that's, you know, that's what you're talking about.
Probably in some way, John, but yeah. Right.
Hormones or something. Right. Exactly. And the same way, Joe, the same way that we just had on Tom Serafin last week, we talked about James Brown, who has been silenced by a bunch of lawyers, Cook County Bar and the Chicago Council of Lawyers, silenced because he was saying things they didn't like him to say when he was retired. Silence as a retired man. Don't criticize the bond system. Don't criticize any of what we're doing. And you know what? People need to be able to speak up. But again, the sin of omission. That's what it is.
Yeah, Joe, I said, thanks for bringing it back to us and marking this unfortunate anniversary.
You know, I know they like to say that, oh, you know, you've got justice, you know, he's in jail now. But I think what people don't realize and understand, the torment, the anguish, and the torture we go through now as a family for the rest of our life, they don't make that connection.
What justice?
That's what I'm saying.
You didn't get justice.
No, he'll serve some time in prison. I'm in a prison the rest of my life. It shouldn't have happened. He shouldn't have been here. And now I just got to deal with it because Governor Pritzker will say, I don't know. If it's a criminal, then we'll give him due process and we'll adjudicate him. But
in my mind, the criminal is Pritzker and, I guess, to some extent, Rauner, all the Democrats, anyone who had a hand in making Illinois a sanctuary state. Because sanctuary state means come here, we'll protect you against the people. I don't understand that, but that's what they're doing.
Well, why can't you do, even if you wanted to do that, John, and I don't think this takes some genius, but even if you do that, right, don't you have now some responsibility to say, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to protect, but we will put in some basic guardrails so we don't have,
right,
you know, gang members coming in, we don't have murderers, we don't have pedophiles, we don't, you know, to say that every illegal immigrant is 100% pure is so silly and unserious. So when you do that, I'm shocked because I have no recourse, right? So we talked about this social contract before. This Julio Cucubull stepped into our state, didn't spend that much time here. He received more social contract from the state than I ever did. If I didn't meet my end of the bargain, I would have had men with guns in this house dragging me out, right? But I have no recourse. They have some kind of immunity or something. So they can set in an awful policy on their own, authoritarian, and then have zero guardrails. And when someone gets hurt or killed, there's like nothing. It's like you're helpless. They don't talk to you. They don't, like, you have no recourse to go understand, you know, what does the state owe me now? What does the state owe Katie now? and Katie's family for this awful process they didn't implement. And then how do you have immunity to something like that? Now, I know they'll tell me something different, very political stuff, but it's amazing to me, and it's just so hurtful. And you sit here and you're haunted and you're tortured, and they're out there just doing their thing, and they don't have any consideration. Julio Kugelbohl had more consideration than I did.
Joe Abram, thanks so much for sharing Katie's story with us and our listeners.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
No, I thank you guys for sure, and keep fighting the good fight.
For Joe Abram and his family, mourning the loss of their daughter, Katie. For Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio. And for me, John Cass of John Cass News. Tune in again next time for another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.